Picture a marriage where one partner commands, "Get the dessert," while the other offers, "I'll drive them home, honey. You look tired." Same institution, radically different worlds. What separates these couples isn't luck or compatibility, it's boundaries. These invisible property lines don't build walls between partners. They create the safe space where real intimacy can actually breathe. Think of boundaries as the guardrails on a mountain road. They don't limit your journey, they make the journey possible. Without them, love becomes a dangerous game of control and resentment. With them, two people can truly know and be known. The most important boundaries aren't with your spouse, they're with yourself. When Lynn stopped nagging her chronically late husband, Tom, she realized his lateness wasn't her problem to fix. Her enabling and resentment were. This fundamental reframe changes everything. You own half the marriage, but all of your soul. Scott couldn't help his wife develop financial responsibility until he confronted his defensive anger that sabotaged every solution. We blame others to avoid our own growth, keeping us stuck. The good spouse faces particular danger, focusing so intently on the partner's obvious flaws that subtle personal contributions remain invisible. Real change begins when you stop trying to control your spouse and start limiting your own controlling behaviors. Nagging creates resistance, not growth. Freedom, paradoxically, gives your partner space to change. Marriage works best when two complete people build something together, not when incomplete people seek completion. A whole person can give and receive love, live by their values, take responsibility, and develop talents independently. Many marry seeking compensation for deficiencies. While complementary strengths create partnership, using marriage to bypass character development fails. You can't borrow maturity from your spouse. Scooter felt inadequate meeting Maggie's unreasonable demands, but his real failure was not requiring her to take ownership of her feelings. Mature adults don't just take responsibility for themselves, they require it from those they love. This means seeing your spouse as a person, not an object. Rich valued that Mary doesn't try to control me. I can feel free to do things with my friends. This separateness, paradoxically, strengthens connection. Without enough distance, there aren't two people, just enmeshed neediness masquerading as intimacy. Freedom is essential for love. Control produces slavery. In relationships, you get what you tolerate. Values function as boundaries, determining what's allowed and rejected. Like a house needs a foundation, marriages thrive when built on clear, shared values both partners actively uphold. The pursuit of personal happiness above all else might be the worst possible marital value. When happiness becomes our metric, we misinterpret normal challenges as failure. Yet moments of unhappiness often signal opportunities for crucial growth. Financial stress, communication breakdowns, and lifestyle adjustments all serve as catalysts for deeper connection. People who abandon relationships when happiness wanes never develop the capacities needed for lasting joy. Instead of chasing happiness directly, pursue the values that ultimately produce it. Love of God, love of your spouse, honesty, faithfulness, compassion, forgiveness, and holiness. When couples lose hope, their love for God can become the foundation for healing. By submitting to something beyond personal satisfaction, transformation becomes possible. She releases judgmentalism, he controls sarcasm and stops avoiding conflict. Both take responsibility for their issues. Deception damages relationships more than what's being hidden. When Rachel discovered Richard's financial lies, she wasn't devastated by their money troubles, but by his dishonesty. "I just need to know the truth. I can deal with whatever it is." Lying undermines knowing one another. Where deception enters, connection ends. Any problem can be worked through, but deception makes resolution impossible by denying the problem exists. Christy and Dennis appeared perfect to others, but she felt emotionally cut off. Dennis was nice but lacked passion, leaving her feeling alone. When she finally exploded with honesty, he initially tried placating her. But in counseling, he broke through his nice guy facade and expressed his own anger and unmet desires. This honesty created the real connection they both craved. In good marriages, deception often happens defensively to protect from fears of closeness, abandonment, control, or judgment. To build honesty, promise never to punish truth, allow questioning without defensiveness, and help heal underlying fears. The path begins with small steps, acknowledging minor frustrations, expressing uncomfortable emotions, admitting mistakes. As trust builds through smaller moments of truth-telling, couples develop capacity to handle bigger challenges transparently. Marriage requires active protection from outside forces. Like a bank guards money, spouses must guard their love against intruders that weaken the bond. Triangulation occurs when one spouse takes part of their heart to an outside source, confiding in a friend about marital unhappiness, telling a coworker, "My spouse doesn't understand me," making a child a confidant. This betrays trust and fractures union. Maintaining closeness requires saying no to many other things. A life of yes to everything else ultimately results in no to your marriage. Often, the intruder isn't the real issue, but a symptom of deeper problems. When Jerry felt left out by Marcia's busy schedule, the root wasn't the activities, but Marcia's unresolved grief over her mother's death. Emotional intimacy itself makes marriages vulnerable. True intimacy exposes flaws, creating fears of rejection and potential withdrawal. When either spouse withdraws emotionally, a vacuum forms that intruders fill. Common culprits include work, where one feels more competent, friends, where a spouse comes alive only around others, children, prioritizing parenting over marriage, and affairs, symptoms of deeper emptiness. Boundaries preserve relationships. They don't end them. They aren't about escaping suffering, but suffering for the right reasons. Biblical suffering produces perseverance and character, growing in faith, becoming truthful, delaying gratification, learning to forgive an imperfect spouse, and accepting forgiveness for being imperfect ourselves. Godly suffering comes from doing right things. Ungodly suffering comes from doing wrong things or avoiding right things. Proper boundaries stop ungodly suffering and enable godly suffering, which always brings growth. Setting boundaries requires love, support, ownership, invitation to change, fair warning, patience, consequences, and active forgiveness. When a spouse resists, understanding the cause matters. Empathic failure, irresponsibility, control issues, denial, or retaliation. Effective boundary setting requires soul connections beyond your marriage, personal growth, clear communication, specific requests, appropriate consequences, and consistent follow-through. In a culture confusing control with love and distance with independence, we've forgotten what intimacy requires. Your marriage isn't a prison or fairy tale. It's a covenant between flawed humans choosing daily to protect what they're building. Boundaries aren't love's enemy, they're its guardian. Stop trying to change your spouse and start owning your choices. Stop tolerating what erodes your relationship and start protecting what deepens it. The marriage you want isn't on the other side of your partner's transformation. It's on the other side of your courage to set limits, speak truth, and love freely.